Monday aspects of Jewish life, particularly in the summer months, is early Shabbos. And we have, Baruch Hashem, some chassidim of early Shabbos that I'm almost surprised they don't make early Shabbos and Shabbos Chanukah also. But, you know, from the moment the clock has changed until they're running with early Shabbos. And I understand them, it's a long week. They would rather end the week and start Shabbos at an early time, and have the Shabbos at an early time. You know, it would be nice sometimes, I imagine, that if I, you know, it's a tough week, Friday morning, come home from Shachris, that's it. Take a shower, be Mekabel Shabbos, make Kiddush, and sit down and start, you know, Suda Shabbos. Won't work, but it would be a nice idea. Our kaponim, we have the institution of early Shabbos. And I want to explore what the halachic basis of it is, what the different aspects of it are, what it's relevant to. Now, in the Mishnah, in the beginning of Perek Tfilas HaShachar, the first Mishnah, in the fourth Perek of Brochus, we find the following, that the Rabbanon say that Tfilas Minchas Ad HaErev, I don't want to explore at this point in time what Erev means. I believe there are different definitions of what it means. Ara Erev. And Rabbi Yehuda says until Plaga Mincha. Apparently that was the normal time that they brought the Korban Mincha and the Torah and the Migdash, but well, this was all done by Plaga Mincha. That was the normal time. And therefore he says that's when this Man Mincha ends. Now what comes out is, according to the Rabbanon, this Man Marav begins, commences after this Man Mincha ends. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the onset of Tfilas Ma'arav is also after Mincha ends. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, after Plaga Mincha, Mon Kindavan Mincha. And according to the Chachamim, after this Man Mincha, whether it's after Shkia, after Tzeis, that's a different issue. We'll maybe touch upon it slightly at the end of the share. Now first let us define what Plaga Mincha is. It's a nice word, Plaga Mincha. What is Plaga Mincha? So Plag means half, Mincha of the time for Mincha. The way the day is divided up in the Halacha is, it's 6 hours in the day. Now when we talk about 6 hours, it only is 6 clock hours, 360 minutes, we mean one half of the daytime period. When that ends, that's Chatzis. A half an hour later also, let's assume, in Shos Manius, in the relative hours adjusted to the, it means 1/24th of the day, that begins this Man Mincha, 6.5 hours. From 6:30 till 9:30 in the day, those 3 hours are called Mincha Gdoila. And then we have Mincha Tana from 9.5 hours of the day until 12 hours when the day ends. Okay, it's all Shailin Rishonim, which is the preferable time to daven Mincha, a different shmulis. When we talk about Plaga Mincha, we're talking about dividing the last Mincha, the Mincha Ketana. It has 2.5 hours Shos Manius, of relative hours. So to cut that in half is 1.25 hours of relative hours. Now, if the day were always 12 hours long, so then the relative 1/12 of the day would be 1 hour. 1.25 hours would be 75 minutes. If you're dealing at this time of the year, the 1.25 hours could have, according to the Vilna Gaon, the day is 15 hours long. And that's a fact that it's 15 hours long, so 12 hours is 75 minutes. And so 1.25 hours is approximately, it's a little drop less than 73 minutes, and plus 18 is about 91 minutes. According to the Vilna Gaon, would be the Pesach Vameila. If you take that standpoint, the Shkia was, let's say, on the last day of Yontif at 8:11, so approximately 6:40, something that that would have been the round numbers. Just let me look here if I'm on the mark. Shabbos Parshas Bamidbar, yeah, 6:38, Friday night. Okay. Was the plug. Now, so that means it's 1/12 plus a quarter of a twelfth. So it's really 5/48 of the day before the day ends. Now, how to calculate that? We'll come back. There are two calculations. There's the Gaon's calculation, that we use sunrise and sunset as the markers, and 5/48 of that. And then we have the Magen Avraham. And the Magen Avraham says we count from daybreak until nightfall, which is another 144 minutes to the mix. So according to the Magen Avraham, each hour is 12 minutes longer. So we said, according to the Vilna Gaon, was 90, 91 minutes before the day ended. So according to the Magen Avraham, if we add 12 minutes to the hour, and then another quarter is another 15 minutes, so according to him, it's approximately 106 minutes before nightfall. So if we count nightfall as 72 minutes after sunset, and we're shooting for a figure we said of about 106, so that leaves over 34 minutes. So according to him, it's 34 minutes before the sunset. So it would have been approximately 7:35. Right? They're 57 minutes apart always. So his was 6:38, so the Magen Avraham would be 7:35. Now, the Halacha states the following. So there's a debate in the Gemara. The Gemara records different practices, the different Amoraim, the different things. And the Gemara states at the end, Ovid Kamar Ovid, Ovid Kamar Ovid. The Halacha has not been determined. One can follow any view that he wants. Now, the Rishonim basically state that one can follow anyone the view that one wants, but one's not supposed to mix and match. And the Chatchila, when we say one should follow any view, that means that one's entire life should be according to one view. One's entire life. So whether you'll always daven mincha before blaga mincha, or you'll daven mincha up until shkia, that will determine which camp you're in. That's the general view. There is one sheet that it holds, and the world is seimach on this, that as long as I'm consistent on this particular day, that on this day I'm not going to do two contradictory things, even though what I did today contradicts what I did yesterday, that doesn't make a difference. So yesterday I davened the whole week, I davened mincha 5 minutes before shkia. Now it comes Friday afternoon, it's not. I'd rather not do that, it's inconvenient. I'd rather daven the earliest man. So I can daven the earliest man, and after the earliest man I'll daven marav, even though a whole week I'm davening mincha at that time. But that's fine, as long as I am consistent on that day. The 7 o'clock minyan, the classic summer minyan of 7 o'clock, basically runs afoul of this. I think the latest plaga mincha, according to the Vilna Gaon, is 6:57. I don't think it gets later than 6:57, according to the Vilna Gaon. So if you're davening mincha at 7 o'clock, you're certainly davening mincha after the Vilna Gaon's plaga mincha. And if you're davening marav before shkia. So how do we slice that? So there are a number of aterim that were given for this. The Nesivus, he wrote a parish on the Siddur called Derech HaChaim, and the Derech HaChaim is a compendium of his halachas on the Shulchan Aruch HaChaim. And he writes that it's permissible for a tzibur to daven with Tartan Sasra. Why? Because it's hard to get the people to come twice. And I guess to work it exactly at the time that you'll be before and after is not practical. Oftentimes, most of the time doesn't work out. So either you're going to have one betzibah or not, and the other not betzibah if you're makbid about it. So the betzibah says, under no circumstances, a tartar disaster is permissible. That's what he writes in a siddur. And as I say, it's a controversial psak, but it's a psak that many, many kehilas are seimach on. There is also a prima godim. The prima godim has a different spin to this question. And according to the Prima Godim, on a day that you makabel yontov or you makabel Shabbos, there's no issue of tartar disaster. Because the Kabbalah Shabbos renders that part of the day to a different din. Now it's Shabbos. It's no longer Yom Shishi. So really, it's not a steer. They only ask me I'm being Saiser. I'm not being Saiser. This was Chayil, that was Shabbos. They're two different Metzius. So according to Rima Godin, that's a resolution of the problem of Tartar Disaster on Friday afternoons, or Yom Tov afternoons, etc. It's another possible resolution.
If I could daven mincha before plag, but be chidus at home, and then go daven at 7 o'clock.
Now we'll get to the next question. You're mechavan, Ramesh, mechavan to the Sheikh. So what should you do, l'halocha l'maisa, if your choice is to daven, listen, I have to daven Marav at a certain time. That's when I have to daven. That's when I feel he's going to eat. That's when I'm a guest in someone else's. I have to daven Marav at that time. Now, the only way I could daven mincha, either be yechidus before plaga mincha, that I could do, or I can come to shul and daven at 7 o'clock with everybody else and daven b'tzibur. Which should I do? Now, it's a hard question to answer. I say it's a hard question to answer because the Chofetz Chaim discusses it in two different places in the Mishnah, Chelek Beis and Chelek Gimel. In one place he says you should follow the tzibur, be part of the tzibur. In the other place he says you should daven b'yechidus. You know.
Daven twice.
So, as I say, there's a quandary which way to go. My netiyah would be to go in the direction of being soymech on the nesivos and davening with tzibur.
How does Rav reconcile what are some answers why he has two psachim?
It could be 100 different reasons. One is, listen, Reb Leib, his son wrote, they asked him, there's a stira between Tzimt Shin Yud Ches and Shin Chav Ches about what type of chayla a guy could cook for on Shabbos. A chayla sheyesh bo sakona, a chayla sheein bo sakona. So they asked Reb Leib, the Chofetz Chaim's son, why is there a stira in the Mishnah Berurah? He said, it's very simple, he says. The text of one siman was written by my father, and the text of another, the other siman was written by me. You know, I guess the Chofetz Chaim was beyond his ability to edit every single line to make it to be 100%, you know, perfect with everything else that was written. You know, he needed help. It was a massive work. He took 25 years of his life dedicated to this. So that could be a simple reason why it came out the way it is. Actually, it's hard. There are many theories. Why they are is an open question. But, you know, my personal netiyah would be in favor of following the nesivos. Why? Because I'm in general a skeptical about davening b'yechidus. Very few people daven well b'yechidus. The davening b'yechidus is almost not that you daven altogether. You know, the lack of kavona, which takes place, the lack of concentration b'yechidus, and other dictates that a person should be samech on every shas at chak in the world, and but daven b'yechidus, daven b'tzibur.
Is that the Rav's only sorrow? I'm saying, if you have a guy who feels he could do a good job,
listen, that's my only svar. You know, listen, you have the prima godim anyhow, but I don't want to come to Chofetz Chaim said two psukim. You know, as I say, I'm a skeptic about davening b'yechidus. In general, it doesn't work yet.
Also being parishion at tzibur.
Yeah, okay, listen, Purish Menetzibur, if you have a reason...
Every week in a certain shul, it davens at 7 o'clock, and every week you daven b'yechidus, and every week the whole tzibur davens at a different time. It means you're being Purish.
No, you don't have to be Purish. You can come 7 o'clock too. And you don't have to make carry on that you know, being Purish. Yeah, daven mincha already, that's all. You had a early mincha today. You know, I don't see... You're right, in a small town where there's one shul, you know, you daven in one place. You have to be very careful not to be... This is a whole issue. There's, by Marav, the Ramah Paskins and Hilchos Marav, that if the tzibur's davening before Tzeisa Kochovim, you should daven along together with them. Say the Brichos Kriyashma and the Kriyashma, and say Kriyashma again at the end. It's really Kedai that you shouldn't say Brichos Kriyashma altogether and say it after Tzeisa Kochovim, but it's a Mechse Kiyur. You're being Purish Min HaTzibur, you're acting like, you know, holier than thou. You know, so you shouldn't do such a thing. The Vilnagoyen, in fact, held that you shouldn't daven the Brichos Kriyas Shema and the Kriyas Shema, should just daven Shema Nesri with such a minion, and afterwards daven Kriyas Shema with the Brochas. Eich Sheyeh, but no, it was this point of not being a Pirishman at Tzibur and setting oneself apart from the Tzibur troubled the Ramah to such an extent that the Ramah said, it's Kedai to be Soymach on a Shasat Chak, of saying the Brichos Kriyas Shema with the Kriyas Shema before his man, and not to do differently than the Tzibur. You know, so this is something that we need, you know, to think about very, very carefully. You know, the yochid versus the tzibur, and fitting into the tzibur, it's something that's almost forgotten in today's world. You know, the idea that there's a tzibur, and a part of the tzibur, responsibilities to tzibur, how to act with, interact with the tzibur, this is all
And so the Rebbe is asking that there's such an Indian by this also.
Yeah, so good. You don't have to, you shouldn't just show that you're being Pirish. You know, if you want to daven early and come to shul. It's 7 o'clock. Don't think you need that, but there's no other minion. So make believe you're davening now, to, you know, not to be Pirish Menatsiba. When they stand, you'll also stand. When I go to a Chassidus shul, and they don't say Tachnun at Mincha. Now, it's interesting. There happens to be a Machloikis about this, I discovered. Rav Shlomo Zalman said that it's a legitimate thing that they don't say Tachnun, and Ramele, if you daven in such a shul, you're not mechuyev to say Tachnun. But well, Yosef said it's illegitimate, and you're mechuyev to say Tachnun anyhow. I mean, I personally have always followed the view of Rav Yosef, even before I knew it was his view, because we don't have, no one knows the basis why in the world they don't say, even the Satmar Dayanim don't know why they don't say. The one Satmar Dayan wrote, I think Rav Harfenis, wrote a Sefer Aben Ashmoshes. So good. The Chassidim have a reason not to say Tachta Aben Ashmoshes. It's all issue. There are Achronim that hold not to say Tachta. And he says, why we don't say Tachta when we dive in the middle of the afternoon? He says, I haven't the foggiest idea. There are some Chassidim, Skver, they say Tachta, for example. So I say Tachta, but I never put my head down. That's their minhag. That's the way they know you. I'm not going to act in their face differently than they act. So I'm good, I say Tachton standing up. You know, so there shouldn't be a Pirish Menatsibu. So we have two Zmanim for Plaga Mincha. In this shul, we have the earlier minyan is for the Vilna Goyen's Plaga Mincha, and the latter minyan is for the Mogen Avraham's Plaga Mincha. So either way, there's no Tarti Desasri, one's before a plug, one's after plug. That's what we do here. Now, how far does this din go? What does it affect? There is a phenomenal Rabbeinu Tam. And as I mentioned many, many times, the Rabbeinu Tam, he was the ultimate revolutionary. I mean, he has the most revolutionary pshat of all over Shas, Rabbeinu Tam. Different than the whole world. He was known to be a revolutionary in his pshat. And he was also known to be very great. Is a place that we have in the Hagdama, the Yamsha Shloimais, that it is a Messiah from the Rosh that the Rabbeinu Tam was greater than the Rambam. That's what he writes. Okay, so you want to agree with it, you want to disagree with it, but it gives some notion of where the Rabbeinu Tam was. In other words, we can talk about the Rabbeinu Tam in the league that we talk about the Rambam, but that league. So Rabbeinu Tam, in the time of the Rishonim, realized there was no outdoor illumination. So to go in the street at night was not very safe and not very common. There was nothing to go out for. There was no one in the street. The street was the place for bandits in the nighttime. So the common practice was that they davened Marav before Shkiyas Hacham, even before the sunset. That's when they davened Marav. So the Shaila was, so they took the Meivas HaKorin HaShma Barovin, right? Meshosh HaKorin Nechnos Lecho B'Trumosa. And that's Tzeitz HaKochavim, the Gemara says. So HaKorin is Man Kriya Shu as a Tzeitz HaKochavim. So how is it that all the Klal Yisrael was davening Kriya Shma, Lei says the same Kriya Shma Ba'erev before his month? What happened? So this possessed the Rishonim, the very first sugya in Shas. So Rabbeinu Tam has it. So Rashi said a very simple answer. Rashi said that by Kriya Shema Lamita we read the first parsha, and a person should have in mind if he daven too early, that he should be yotze with that. And Rashi Shita is a yotze the mitzvah deraisa with the first parsha, so that's enough. There are yidden that I knew that say the whole life, they say all three parshas of Kriya Shema Lamita. Why? They don't want to have to stop every night to make a cheshbon. I davened early. I didn't daven early. It wasn't this month. It wasn't this month. Just really know. In case I davened too early, before I go to sleep, I said all three parshas, a Kriya Shema Gemara. It's taken care of. Taken care of. So that was Rashi's resolution. The Rabbeinu Tam, when the Tosfos has four kashas on Rashi, that with the Rishonim and the Yonah particularly takes up for Rashi on the kashas. Rabbeinu Tam offers his own solution. Rabbeinu Tam says that the same way that the Gemara said, the Ovid Kamara Ovid, you can follow Rabbi Yehuda the Rabbana. Well, it's obvious, Klal Yisrael is following the Rabbana with davening Marav before Plaga Mincha, before Shkia. And the same way, it's a Kriya Shema. Right, what happened is Zman Shchiva, it has to be Zman Shchiva, so according to, according to one step in the Tosfos and the Ritva, that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold you need Zman Shchiva, so that Kash is answered. But and the Rav and the Mishnayos also says that this was the smach of the people that davened when Kriya Shema early. So the Shailuk that emerged is the following, right, the second piece of Rabbi Kiveger on Shas and the Mishnayos. Rabbi Kiveger says he doesn't understand this. When he said the Ovid Kamar Ovid would seem to suggest that we don't know what the Pesach is. It means the Pesach is a Sofik. If this Pesach is a Sofik, he says, so if you're dealing with an Isa Darabonon, like a Din Darabonon, like Tefillah, good, the Ovid Kamar Ovid, you have a right to follow either view. But if we up the ante to a mitzvah deraisa, so sofik deraisa lechumra, so how could you follow the kula dekuvim? He says he doesn't understand this, and he says the prichodesh was also disturbed by this, and he leaves this over. When I was learning b'chayrus back, you know, before Pesach time, this winter, I discovered a chazanish in b'chayrus. And chazanish in b'chayrus has the following idea. He doesn't discuss this from Kiveger, but he has an idea. When you have this type of psak, it's not a psak we suffer. It's chazaw or koveya psak. In other words, there's a psak like the Rabbanan, there's a psak like Rabbi Yehuda, and you can take either psak, but it's a psak. It's not mitzad sofik. Chazaw or koveya that there are two mahalchim in the halacha. And I told this, I was sitting with Rav Naftali Yeager with a chassan, I mentioned this to him. So he told me that the stipler says such a type of art also, to answer Rabbi Kiveger's kasha, the stipler, I think, in Brochus. And it's not together that we don't know, and Rabbi Lami Sofik, we agree about, no, it's Chazawa Koveya Psak. Here the Psak is that you could, this Psak more than Psak too, and you can follow either Psak. That's the way, that's the Chazanish has this type of idea in Bechers. So I realized right away that this addresses the problem Rabbi Kiveger raised at the beginning of Shas, in the second piece of Masechta Brochus. How could it be? The answer is it's because it's not misofet. It's a din, a psak.
Why was there a running issue
with the psak? Maybe because it was not, there was no clear way to determine. And Al Tzan Hoga, you could do, in other words, they held each one had a validity, so they issued such a psak. That could be. It's not conflicting. It's pshat a person could do either one. Either one has a basis. In Ravela, they affirmed each psak. Each psak is solid. You know, we have such a notion in the halacha, in our halachas, you know, in a different way. There is in Masechta Avodah Zarah, there's a tosfos about having a contract to work to build a house on Shabbos. So Rabbeinu Tam again has a revolutionary heter. And then in the middle of the Tosfos it says, Chosaba Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam changed his mind and he decided, no, it's not mutter. That's the Tosfos. In the Torah, in the Reish Mems, near the very beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, the Torah quotes this whole story. Rabbeinu Tam said Psak A, Chosaba Rabbeinu Tam, and he now said Psak B. So along came the Bach, and the Bach says, I don't get Tosfos, I understand. He's telling me what to put all the plumdish possibilities on. It was A, Rabbeinu Tam then changed his mind for whatever reasons, and now we have B. Okay. But when you're writing halacha l'maisa, who cares about A? Just B. That's the bottom line. The bottom line is the final psak of Rabbeinu Tam. So why is the Torah Shulchan Aruch writing the first psak and telling me chosav? Well, forget that. That's history. And you want to learn the Masechta? Go learn the Masechta. Halacha l'maisa is like B. Zok the Bach, a phenomenal idea. The Bach says the Torah is telling you that Shasat Chak, you can be Soim Mecham psak number one of the Rabbeinu Tam. Pshat is, it's a psak. Rabbeinu Tam, he wasn't a Toya B'dvar Mishnah, he didn't forget a Gemara or, you know, an open halacha. He took every factor into account and he formulated a psak. That's a psak of Rabbeinu Tam. Later, he recalculated and he decided he would weigh the factors differently in some different svaras. But there was not, it was not a Toya B'dvar Mishnah. So the first psak is a psak and the second psak, I mean, it stands. Rabbeinu Tam was able to come to that conclusion of people, it's a psak. And for Shas Adcha, Klal Yisrael can be Soimach on it. It's a psak. Oh. So we have the two possibilities of what Plaga Mincha is. And the fact that if we're consistent on one particular day, we're toyib. Now this touches other areas of the halacha too. It's not only confined. It's not a confined aspect, because it touches other things. As I mentioned at the beginning, there are some Friday mornings that I would like to just go home, take a shower. That's it. Just sit down and make kiddush and start Shabbos. That's it. So I can forget about the world for another half a day, some weeks, you know. It's a tough week. That's it. We'll start Shabbos. That's it. We won't answer the phone anymore today. That's it. We'll be closed for Shabbos from Friday morning, you know, 10 o'clock Friday morning. There's Motzei Shabbos. Yeah, Barrow likes the idea.
You can at 11 o'clock.
Yeah. So I'm asking.
I mean, you don't have to wait that long. It could be 10 or so.
Okay. So what's this?
In Europe, you can do it. Certain places in Europe, the Shki is extremely early.
Like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Even earlier.
Earlier than
much earlier, like maybe even 1:32. Plaga Mincha could be 12.
Oh.
So you can make your early Shabbos at 11:30. Go a quarter to 12.
Oh, Gavaldik. Okay. So Kitzer. So one of the issues is, what is the earliest time that one could be Mekabel Shabbos? Now, there are those that say you can be Mekabel Shabbos before Plaga Mincha. It's not unheard of. There are such shittas. We don't paskin like that. Most of the Achronim do not paskin in that fashion, so we don't do such things. They say that you can only be Mekabel Shabbos and Plaga Mincha. And the reason is, in Rabbi Yehuda's notion, that from Plaga Mincha, we start already to worry about tomorrow. Mincha finished, we're starting to dabble in tomorrow. And consequently, and we find there's an overlap in the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon don't disagree with that notion. In other words, probably the Hekta Chalovim Vevorim started after Plaga Mincha, I would presume. Which is an issue of the night. It doesn't have to be today, B'davka. Now, I believe in the Rabbanon it's also relevant, because we have, for example, in Hilchos Chanukah. In Hilchos Chanukah, what happens on Shabbos, Erev Chanukah? Erev Shabbos Chanukah. So when do you light? So especially if you hold like the sheet that he's supposed to light. I mean, the earliest anyone holds the light is a Shkia, basically. So you can't light. There's no way that you can light. You can't light a Shkia. You certainly can't light a Tzeis. So there had to be a Koveya difference month. Good. So we say, according to Rabbanon, there has to be a difference month. So what do we say? We say we should light after Plaga Mincha. So we give it, there's a certain credence even in the Rabbanon of Plaga Mincha. There's a time, you know, to do certain things. We have in Uchos Nido, the suggestion is Lachahav Sektar Lachatchila should be from Plaga Mincha and on. It has a certain place in the Halacha, Plaga Mincha. It's not that it's only in Shittas Rabbi Yehuda. It has a certain value. So what's the earliest time it could be Mekabel Shabbos? So what's Mekabel the Halacha is that from Plaga Mincha and on, you can't be Mekabel before. That means if you lit Neiris and you made Kiddush before Plaga Mincha, you struck out. You really have to do it again. Then arises a whole issue, arises ancillary to this, the early Shabbos, is Kiddush is deraisa. So how am I yotze Kiddush after Plaga Mincha? So this goes into a whole shayla. Is Tosfos Shabbos deraisa, Tosfos Shabbos derabbanan? Or doesn't it exist at all? Three possibilities. If Tosfos Shabbos is deraisa, then we could say that this is, so with deraisa, this is Shabbos. It may not be Shabbos for the Chi of Skila, but it's Shabbos. It's part of Shabbos. So maybe the Shabbos started. Zochras Yom HaShabbos, the Katra Shabbos started. I can make Kiddush, no problem. However, what happens if you hold that Tosfos Shabbos is the Rabbanon? So if Tosfos Shabbos is the Rabbanon, so Shabbos doesn't begin till at least Shkia, maybe even Tzeis. You don't do till, so Shabbos didn't start yet. So how are you making Kiddush? So here we have a couple of notions. The Morgan of Women Reish Samach Zion raises this issue. He quotes a Mordechai. The Mordechai says that Dinim de Rabbanon have standing on a deraisadika level. It's a very, very revolutionary notion. It has parallels that there's a Taisvis in Sukkot Daf Gimel and there's a Rabbeinu Yoyin in the first parak in Brochus that both say the following, that if the Rabbanon can make a takana, And once you, if you violate that takana, you're not even yotzei din d'oraisa. So you see, in other words, that a din d'rabbanan could impact on a d'oraisa d'kedin. So there's a prima godim. When I learned the Tosis in Sukkah, I thought that this probably would be a pshat in Tosis. In some place, I think it's in Siman Lamed Ches, I don't remember, but I found the prima godim. The prima godim says the pshat is that since it's a din of lo saser, every drabbanan has a deraisa dika basis, according to some rishonim. That's how it could impact on the deraisa, that by deraisa, it's not considered, you're not considered being yoitz. Al kaponim, it has a standing on a deraisa dika level. So a mele, that's one way you can be yoitz a kirch. This runs afoul of this, of a Shagas Aryeh. The Shagas Aryeh has the following shayla. We have a klala, toda v'sheina toda, toda koidim. So if I have two mitzvahs to do, when one is more common than the other, and which one do I have to do now? The one that I have to do now was the one that occurs most frequently. That's Todd B'Sheinah, that's why, what do we have in Shachris before Musaf? Todd B'Sheinah, Todd Kaidah. The Korban Oyla was brought before the Korban Musaf for that reason. That's Todd B'Sheinah, Todd Kaidah. That's the way it has to be. What happens if one mitzvah is a mitzvah deraisa, the Todder, and the Rabbanon is the Sheinah Todder? Do you apply the din of Todder to it or not? So the Shagas Aryeh wants to say a svar that you don't apply it. Why? He says you would not think, for example, let's say you have a mitzvah to do. I have to daven mincha, and I want to eat a bowl of ice cream. It happens to be a daven mincha more often than I eat ice cream. So you're going to tell me, Todu Hashem, Todu that I'm a chuyif to eat daven mincha before I eat ice cream. So they're not in the same realm. It has no shaykhis to the realm to be judged. They're not in one league to be judged. You can't put these two things together. But shaykh, Mavela, if I want to eat ice cream, I can eat ice cream before I daven mincha. Even though I eat daven mincha more frequently than I eat ice cream. Oh. So Zukti Shagas Arya, vis-a-vis a deraisa, the Rabbanon is like eating ice cream. Mamela not shayach for the Torah to say this is Todah B'Shein or Todah. They're not in the same league. One's eating ice cream, one's doing a mitzvah. No shaychas with each other. So he clearly is on the opposite end, antithetical to the idea that the Mordechai put forth. The Mordechai saying that a deraisa, the Rabbanon has a standing on a deraisa at the level. And the Shagas Aryeh is saying it so it doesn't have a standing that it's not shayach to impose the din Todah on it. Yeah. That Rambam is a third issue altogether. So the Rambam sheet is a machlokes. The Chofetz Chaim wants to learn. The Rambam does not mention Tosfos Shabbos and Tosfos Rabbah. Tosfos Shabbos and Tosfos Yom Tov. The only Tosfos that he mentions Tosfos Yom Kippurim. That's the only Tosfos that the Rambam mentions. So the Shaila is, the Chofetz Chaim wants to be Miyashiv, that it's Nichlal in a different din that the Rambam wrote, that he didn't have to mention it, but he really holds the Tosfos Shabbos as the Rabbanon. But there are others that learn, I believe the Briska learned that in the Rambam, that there's no din Tosfos Shabbos, no din Tosfos Yom Tov, and all that. It's only Tosfos Yom Kippurim. Well, according to the Rambam, we're really in a pickle. We don't have Tosfos Shabbos deraisa, so we don't have the Mordechai's Teres of Tosfos Shabbos deRabbanon. So how can you be Yotze Kiddush? And the Gemara says, Mefurish, Rav Tzoli Shal Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos. So what's the pshat? How could it be? Right? And Pashtus, he daven, he made Kiddush at the same time. So how's he yaitzi? So I'll come to gain the Rambam, and the Rambam Kedarka B'Kodesh has his own way of doing things. The Rambam says, Zochars Yom HaShabbos L'Kacho includes Kiddush and Abdullah, according to the Rambam. They're both included. So the Rambam says that you have to make Kiddush some. Kiddush and Abdullah somach liknisoso or somach libiyoso. It doesn't have to be on Shabbos. It has to be approximating near the beginning of Shabbos. You have to proclaim the onset of Shabbos. Near the end of Shabbos, you have to proclaim the end of Shabbos. But the Rambam is clear. The Rambam is not saying that it has to be on Shabbos itself. Somach. So according to the Rambam, the Shitose, if he holds like the Briskeler, that he doesn't hold from Tosfos Shabbos at all. So Mameila, the din is somach. Somuch it is. So it's not, that's the Rambam's rationale for it. Not because of Tosfos Shabbos, but for a different reason. Now this also gets involved in another issue, which runs parallel to this. And what in terms of Suda Shabbos is considered like a semi-deraisa. It's been divrei Kabbalah. It's a semi deraisa dikadir. It's not mamash a deraisa dikadir. So my yoytzi and this man toys for Shabbos anav. So there are rishonim that state that I should not be soymech on being yoytzi and the din toys for Shabbos. That after tzeitzah rochavim, I should be looking over kizayas of challah. So that I should be yoytzi lechol adayas. I'm not saying the ikra the dinner, but there are rishonim that definitely say this way, and the Chofetz Chaim certainly suggests that one ought to conduct himself in this particular fashion. So we have, again, as an impact, Suda Shabbos, but it also has its own impact. Has its own impact in terms of if I could fully be able to Suda Shabbos before Tzeisa Kochov. That's what I'm telling you. I wouldn't say that they don't recognize Plag. Plag was Lamay functionally this man that they brought the carbon Talmud, they brought the Ketores. It was a certain Zman.
Just Zman Tefillah
that held didn't end. It didn't have to end at that time. So they weren't conveying this Zman. But the Rabbi Yehuda has a point that functionally it was a Zman. The Rabbanon Lechayer agree with that. Rabbanon agree with that. Now, we have all types of issues which arise. What happens if you makabel Shabbos already? You make early Shabbos, you makabel Shabbos. Let's say you makabel Shabbos and you realize you didn't put on tefillin yet today. So there are two possibilities. I mean, you certainly are you potter from tefillin, or you're not potter from tefillin. So there are two possibilities. Either you could go, no. There's a very interesting halacha. Anything which comes about by a person's own Kabbalah, and Shayach Bidurat Torah Sadoramot. Now we have this is our Amod. The Amod writes, for example, that I had this recently. A woman was Marfish Challah, and then somehow the Challah got mixed back in with everything else. She doesn't know which piece of the dough was the Challah. She has no idea. And she baked everything, and here she has no idea which is the Challah, which is not the Challah. Person called me, so I told him. The Ramah says you should be matan that they make a Torah on the Kriyas Challah, that you mischar it, that you made it Challah, and then everything becomes Tevel again, and then you mafresh a second time. So there's anything that you make, Al-Yidei Dibur, you could undo. Right? There's a famous, I think, Chubas Radvaz, Stalker's the same thing. A person that made a Nedim with Stalker can go and be matan and Nedim and be released from it. But the Radvaz wrote the following. That if a Bezdin was matted in the Neder, the person is released from the Neder, but the Bezdin should be put in Cheirim for such a thing. They ought to respect Stockholm more than that they don't, allow people to make pledges and tend to come and make Hathoras the Dorm on their pledges.
What kind of Hathoras the Dorm is necessary? Like by Hathoras the Salad?
You just tell, so you have three people, yeah. That's
don't you owe the money once you do the, once you pledge? Is it
so that's only because of the Neder. So if you undid the nether, you would be exempt.
What about the loss of the sure it could have sold it to somebody else?
Oh, that's something else. I'm not talking an auction. Let's say you pledged $1,000 at the shul's dinner.
That's done.
Yeah. So that's a whole different issue if you cause a hefsid, It's a whole different issue. I mean, if you took the aliyah, I don't think anyone could be matted the nether for you anymore. Well, kitzar. So one possibility is a person could be matan neder and undo the Kabbalah. But I think I found that there are achroidim that say that even if you don't undo it, you're supposed to put on tefillin anyhow. It should not override the putting on of tefillin for that particular day. So this is just another nuance, right? You have this, there's a whole halacha in the halachas of hefsek tira, that let's say one was supposed to do a bedik or a hefsek tira. And meanwhile, she went and she lit the Neiris. She was Makabel Shabbos, and she didn't do the Vedika that she's supposed to do today until after this month. So what's the din? So the Vilna Goyen and Kuf Tzadik Vov and Yoredeir writes that one is not affected by the other. Kabbalah Shabbos is one thing, and the Metzias, what's the Metzias? The Metzias is that it's Friday still. It's not Shabbos. In terms of the cosmic sense, in our spiritual sense, it might be Shabbos. But in terms of the cosmos, it's still Friday. The sun didn't set yet. She could still do a bediko.
You can still count Omer?
The Gros says that, I don't know.
What?
I think the Rav told me the Gros says that by Sfira also, no?
It would follow from the Gros. I don't know if the Gros says it specifically, but I think it would follow from the Gros by Sfira. The same idea. Yeah.
Prison is Menkla? The Mekal Shabbos before?
Then they won't see Mekal Shabbos. You can't daven Nechi. You daven Tashlumen.
Would it be better to be Matin Ender?
It doesn't seem. It seems that Chayim Holder would be better to daven twice. Marav. At the end of the day, you still daven. What's the difference between?
Would you have to be, in these cases of being Matin Ender, you have to do it on the spot? You could do it later in Mafreya.
Yeah, you're not supposed to violate a neder, and after you violate it, go make the hatorah.
You're supposed to mark it right then.
Yeah, yeah. There's already, you reminded me, there was a mice, it's a shvuas mice. I'll tell it to you now. When Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal got married, right, to the second time, to a second Rebbetzin, so he had, for whatever, he had a family minhag that they don't eat milchiks on Friday. Don't ask me why, I don't know the reason for it, but that was their family minhag. They were afraid because they would hard cheese and they would eat, and they would do deflation of meals. So they did not eat milchiks in his family Friday. He gets married the second time, and it's the first day Yontif. And the Rebbetzin made, she didn't know that he had this minhag, and she made this huge, it was Erev Shabbos. Friday, I mean, it was the second day, no, it could be the first day Shavuos, it could be Erev Shabbos, yeah. And she made this huge milchiks spread. So now he's in trouble. What's he going to do? He's going to tell the Rebbetzin he just got married. So she knocked herself out to make everything. And he's not eating the food. So we had three guests there. So when the Rebbetzin was in the kitchen, it was Matan Neder. So it's Tzorach, HaYoyim, so you're allowed to be Matan Neder on Yontif. So he was Matan Neder. Now we have the impact, just with the union of Plaga Mincha, how it affects Erev Chanukah. It's the last thing we're going to do. Then we'll hold the shiur, whatever we're up to. We know it's a rather common practice that people want to daven mincha, and it's encouraged by the halacha on Erev Shabbos Chanukah to daven mincha before one lights the Erev Chanukah. Now, we're not, as I pointed out before, we're not dependent on, this is not because of Rabbi Yehuda. Because the Rabbanan also have to have lighting before. So this has nothing to do. The Rabbanan also can't say, oh no, we're machmer, you're going to light after Tishkia. You can't light after Tishkia, it's a Chil Shabbos. So it's Mukhrach that for Erev Shabbos there's a different Zman in the Rabbanan. So what is this Inyan? So Mamela is not a Tartar Asasri. The Rabbanan have a different Zman. They don't have the conventional Zman of Tzis for a Shabbos, Erev Shabbos Chanukah. So what's this Indian of davening mincha before? So if you look in the Machlis HaShekel on the spot, or you're discussing it in the Chos Chanukah, he says it's sort of, it's like a Tartar Asasri. It's not really a Tartar Asasri. Why is it not a Tartar Asasri? Because the Rabbanon also have to be maskim that this man is before Shkia today. So there's no, but it's similar to a Tartar Asasri. Was it a Pshat? Mincha is for yesterday. Then there is Chanukah for tomorrow. So, Mamela, you should finish today's mitzvahs before you go on to doing tomorrow's mitzvahs. So, it's similar to the notion of Tartar Asasri. And that's what I think the pshat is. I believe I mentioned recently. If you see it, some Haggadahs, the end of the Haggadah, all the way after the Shana Bav Yerushalayim, has Sfiras HaOmer. What are they, Sfiras HaOmer at the end of it? What's it, a pshat? What in the world? They went to Shul, the second night of Yontif. And he counted the Omer. So what in the world is Sfiras HaOmer doing after Nirtzah? Then the Nirtzah, they put Sfiras HaOmer. So I saw some say that there's a Tama Pi Kabbalah for this. That's the reason for it. And I hear that Lamoshal, if you go to Borough Park and Chassidish enclaves, people go out after the Seder to go to Shul to count Sfiras Barabbah. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, they go to Shul. They'll go down to Shabbos Shabbos to count Sfiras Barabbah and then go home. So I said, Pasha, there's a Tama Pi Taras HaNigla. The same Indian as there is by Chanukah. The Seder is assuming what? That it's the first day Yontif. Omer is assuming that it's the second day Yontif. So for the same Cheshbon, finish with the business of the first day Yontif and then start with the business of probing for the second day Yontif. What we do is we don't worry about it because we're the Mitzara Din. So we count in Shul and then we go home and make the Seder. But there were those that were makbid, that they dafkid and wanted to do the Seder, finish everything which suggested it's still the first day yontif. Now after that, we'll start doing the mitzvahs in the second day, then we'll go on to the Sefiras Omer, parallel to what we find by Chanukah.
Is it Indian to daven mincha before plag on Erev Shabbos Chanukah?
No, I don't think, I don't think it says before plug.
It's not that.
It's just a daven before you light for character, because it's in the Rabbanon, it doesn't have anything to do with plug. Now in terms of early Shabbos, it's interesting, in Yerushalayim, the Chassidim don't do early Shabbos for the Rabbanon. It's not their thing. In Yerushalayim, the Ashkenazim don't do it. It was never Mekubal in Yerushalayim, and there's very, very few. There are some places that do it, but overwhelmingly, Rabbi Yoshe was not in favor of it, and it's not Minhag Yerushalayim to do it. The Sfardim in Yerushalayim do it. So if you want to daven early, my Shrei had to daven early, he was getting older, whatever, it was harder to stay, to have the Suda Shabbos later. So we went down, there's a couple of Sfardish shuls in the neighborhood. So we went down to one of the Sfaradish shuls, they have an early minyan and plug, and we davened there, and then we came home. But that is the practice of Sfaradim in Yerushalayim, not so much of Ashkenaz. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, all the schools.
How much time before Shabbos? Stop off of Shabbos.
That's a shayla. Somehow 15 minutes before Rabbi Yisai, 15 minutes before is enough.